This video audio is titled Clips on the Idolization of Family Members by Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, and it's taken from three audio lectures and one video lecture. This one is from the audio titled An Explanation of Daniel 12.
But we're talking about here, the learned shall have understanding, they shall be of the elect, but they shall be tried by fire. Tried by fire. Meaning, the hardest thing for people right there that are listening to us today are not Catholic yet, that are of good will and may want to be Catholic. But the hardest thing for them is breaking away from the world, breaking away from their family members, breaking away from their friends, breaking away from everything they've ever been taught, never knew about. And that's a trial by fire. You're going to be tempted by every means for the devil to try to keep you in that world. And he's going to tempt you. And if you're committing mortal sins, you're going to have to overcome those mortal sins before you can even become learned. And then even when you come into the church like we do, we're constantly being tried by fire. Us now, even now, as new people come in and people go out, as we're every day we got to deal with these people that are out there to try to convert them, or new people that are coming in that were catechumens and we're trying to teach and train them. But the main trial, and you're going to be tested during the persecutions of Antichrist. They're going to arrest some of us. They're going to put us under the gun. They're going to put us under trial. They're going to threaten to torture us. They are going to torture us. And they're going to put the pliers on us and say, deny Christ, deny your God. All right, we're going to be tried by fire. But it says the learned are the ones that are going to be of the elect. Learned. It doesn't say those who go to Mass on Sunday and those who go to confession on Saturday. And I tell you, I've been living out there amongst these traditional so-called Catholics. They don't know nothing. And the ones that do know something, they know nothing. What they know is nothing. Because what they know is not the Catholic faith. It's Scholasticism. It's Thomism. It's these modern theologians. They do not know the Catholic faith. And even a few dogmas they do know, it doesn't matter when people deny them. They say they can all be saved for invincible ignorance. They don't stand up for dogmas when they're being denied. They don't condemn heresies. They don't denounce heretics. They don't condemn books and bad books. They don't come out and preach the way we're preaching. Just listen to these other people. Are they preaching as I'm preaching? But really, most of them don't even know their dogmas at all. All right? So you've got to be learned, which means have the true Catholic faith. And it says, the wicked shall deal wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They'll never listen to us. These are the people Jesus said, even if someone comes from back to the dead, they're not going to believe because they're wicked. And the wicked will not have learned. He means will not have true wisdom. He says the wicked will deal wickedly unto the end. They will always deal wickedly. They will not convert. All of us now talking about the reprobates. Those who are obstinately evil are not going to listen to us, and they never will. And I say it so many times, we're not here for them. Who cares about it? I don't. I'm not here for you then. God knows who they are. I don't. I'm here for the goodwill of my own soul, to give glory to God, send my own soul for other people who are of goodwill. But this is to help you not be discouraged when the multitudes of the people out there who will not convert, because most people aren't going to convert. They're all going to end up in hell. We're going to be the wicked that are going to deal wickedly to the end. And once we've tried somebody enough, two or three times, and we conversed with him and found out he's obstinately wicked, obstinately sinful, obstinately darkened in heresy, whatever, we don't communicate with him no more. We add him to our prayer list, put him under our altar, and pray for him, but we don't talk to him. Let this be a warning to all you people out there that if we determine you're of bad will and obstinate, we've given you enough truth and you don't listen, don't call us, don't email us, don't write us letters, don't talk to us. I don't want to know nothing about you. I'm just going to put your name on a letter. I don't even want to mention your name off of my lips. But it will be under our altar and we will pray for you in general. Unless it's somebody that we know or we've been dealing with for a while goes bad, then we'll mention his name. But just to let you know, we don't need you. You need us. You don't believe that? Stay where you are with the world and the devil in the flesh.
This next clip is from the audio, An Explanation of Zacharias, chapter 14.
He's back in a glorified state. And all the people that are in hell will be dragged up out of hell, the human beings, and they will have their corrupted bodies, their concupiscent flesh put back on them. They will be judged before everybody, and then they will be thrown back into hell for all eternity with their corrupted flesh to suffer even more. And they will never again be a devil or a damn human upon the face of the earth to bother anybody. It's eternity. You see, we're not playing games here, folks. You want to love your family members more than God. You want to choose the world more than God. You want to have your fancy cars and your fancy homes and your fancy vacations. Let's see how long that's going to last you. As soon as you die, all that's forgotten. You're in hell for all eternity, burning forever. You don't want to listen to what I'm saying? That's your problem. All right? Because it's not just what I'm saying. It's what the prophet Zacharias said. It's what Jesus Christ said. It's what St. John said, the beloved St. John.
All right? People that got a problem with me don't got a problem with me. They got a problem with God, so they got a problem with me. You know, I like that too, because I am one with God's will. We have to feel like God does. We have to think like God does. We have to act like God does. We have to do what God does. And if you're not willing to do that, don't even call me on the phone. Don't email me. Don't contact me unless you're willing to do that. And then we will work with you and help you get into the Catholic Church and then be a good Catholic so you can be part of Mary's heel and part of Christ's army in his final day. That's going to be fighting against the Antichrist when he gathers the nations together, as he already has, as he already did. You got to be a fool not to know that the nations are already gathered. There's only a few people that are giving him trouble, but the Antichrist controls the whole world, lock, stock, and barrel.
This next clip is from the audio, An Explanation of Isaiah chapter 24.
You know, you have to have the truth position, which Christ teaches, is really the center of the road. Although I've been accused of being in the extreme, ultra extreme right. But why? Only because I'm convicted in what I believe in. Is that what right means? Because I really believe in what I believe in. I don't just profess it, I actually live it. I actually really, really, really believe it in my heart and carry it out in my life. Anybody else, anybody who's not fanatical, extreme about what he believes in doesn't believe in it. You're a liar, man. Just be honest, man. You don't believe in it. You really don't.
Yeah.
If you really believe in something and love something, you're going to be passionate about it. And I said there's only one obsession Catholics can have and one possession. That's with the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
With God. We have to be possessed with God. All right? So, I'm giving you people a little more pieces to the book of the Apocalypse here. That's right in your face. Don't listen to what these people are telling you in the world today. How many times do I got to tell you that almost the whole world is in the grip of the Antichrist at this very moment even now? They have one mind to pastor one agenda throughout the whole world. All the signs are there. Wake up before it's too late. You may die tomorrow after you hear this sermon. If you don't convert and repent, you're going to be in hell. So don't even wait for these things to start happening. Come into the church now. And the only place where the Catholic Church is right here in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, where I am preaching, where it's our few Catholics that we have now. And you need us, we don't need you. You need us, we don't need you. We're Catholic, you're not. We got the Catholic God on our side and you don't. Does that mean I hate you? No, it means I love you. That's why I'm telling you to come and be amongst us. Would I tell anybody to come and be amongst us if I really hated that person? God hates no one on this earth while they live yet. He loves every person on this earth at this very moment. He wants them to come into his church. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you this new paradise I'm talking about. How is that hatred? You know what real hatred is? These bastards who are lying to you and telling you that you're okay where you are. You're just fine. That's the devil speaking through them because you're not just fine. That would be like a doctor lying to a person who has a terminal illness and telling them that they're really just fine and there's nothing wrong with them. Or an illness that he can even cure and they're not giving him the cure. God has given you the cure. Don't listen to all these lying false prophets in the world that are putting cushions under your elbows and under your head to make you rest comfortable in your damnation. You hear what I'm saying now? Today's the day of your salvation. You now contact us, get a hold of us, and go over to my website and start studying and prepare. If you've been baptized, you're going to need to take the specific abjuration on my website. If you're not baptized, you need to be baptized and make a profession of faith, which includes the abjurations on my website, and then you need to contact us. It's not enough to think that you can believe everything I'm teaching and not be in communion with us, because then that's the sin of schism. Where you say, I believe in everything Rich is teaching, but I don't want to be associated with it because it's dangerous. I might lose my home, I lose a house, they're going to put me on a list. We have all kinds of excuses why people don't want to be with us who claim to believe what we believe in. But that's schism. That's a mortal sin of schism. You're not in the church. That's pure schism. Schism happens in two ways. Either denying the papacy altogether, like the Greek schismatics and the Russian Orthodox schismatics, they deny the whole papacy, or by refusing to be in communion with good Catholics. That's schism. And that's you're out of the church. We got people thinking that they can leave the church on their own and profess the same dogmas and save their souls while not being in communion with good Catholics. They're fooling themselves. And I will tell you, you can't remain where you are very long in that position without even falling into some type of a heresy sooner or later, because you're going to trump up other ideas to go against us.
In this next clip is from the audio, An Explanation of Apocalypse, chapter 21.
And say, Brother Will, I look at Richard's stuff. The Jews are in power. They're the number one evildoers. Not the only evildoers, but they're the prime movers that are bringing Antichrist to power. Now, that guy was given a chance. if we told him what to do, and if he comes back and still disagrees, all I do is to let you people know what I do. I add your name to my prayer list, and we put it under the altar here. I got all the names under here, but I don't even want to mention your name even, because you're filthy and you're a liar. But I will still pray for you. But I will not talk to you. I will not waste one second with you after I know I've presented the facts to you and you don't address them. Remember our Lord said in John 3:12, he says, if I show you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I show you heavenly things? If I showed you 9/11 was demoed and Building 7, how could that thing have fallen down? There was no plane hit the Pentagon and you looked at those videos and then you still come back and tell me that I still believe the Muslims did it and there's a way the press told the standard story told us, I don't want nothing to do with you. Nothing. Nothing, because I'm never going to be able to get you on deeper topics. That's an earthly thing that even all these architects are going look at it. Anybody who has a little bit of will are going out against it. They're saying, oh, man, ain't no plane did that, man. Did not. That's a demo job, man. And just look. Yeah. So I'm just getting people wondering, how do I get to talk to everybody? Or how you ain't going to be able to have any communion with me at all. I'm not even going to try to talk to you even. After the first time I engage you and tell you what you need to do. We're the boss here, pal. We're the bosses. Us Catholics in this room, you need us. We don't need you. Get that into your heads. We don't need you. I've been out there with a bunch of yous. I know what you're all like, and it's all hell. It's all damnation. It's all evil. You need us if you want to be saved. You need good Catholics to preach the word of God to you, and you need God's grace, and you need our prayers to help so God can have mercy upon you. I don't need you. I'll sit here and wait, and if you don't listen in the end, I'll watch you. I'll be president, Kid John Malley, even. Of course, to watch you getting killed and thrown into that Holocaust pit. But we don't need you. Don't you understand? You need us. That's the attitude of good Catholics. We don't have to go out there and bend over backwards to go further to prove to you what we already proved to you. I know when I write on topics, I really cover all the bases. And if I don't, if someone brings up a good point, I always address it. And that's how my works have become perfected. I add the arguments, and when I know I've given the argument, then like our Lord said, Richard, they won't even believe if somebody comes back from the dead. They will not believe. Like when our Lord rose up Lazarus, and a lot of those people that saw it a week later still did not believe. We're not here for those people. You need us. You want to get right with us? We're the boss, not you. You're coming in here, and you're going to learn from us. You're going to learn from us, God's chosen people, good Catholics. You ain't going to be teaching us nothing when it comes to religion or spiritual things. Okay? So convert before it's too late. Now you know you need to know what you have to do if you want to get my attention, you want to get my help, and you want us to go over there and try to help you. You don't think you're going to be calling us up and dragging us into endless debates and stupidities. I have no time for that. I'm here, and I tell you something. All you nominal Catholics out there, and you know what that means? That means you're not true Catholics. You're apostates and heretics and schismatics. You're even worse than the Jews. Mostly who's going to listen to me? You want to know who's going to listen to me? Mostly the Jews. And they're going to convert. And some Protestants. And some Muslims. But you nominal Catholics, pooey! I spit on you. God spits on every one of you. Right now where you are. You're like the Jews were when our Lord came the first time. And only 10% of the Jews accepted Christ. 90% of them rejected. And I'm telling you right now, you nominal Catholics are going to have even be less than 10%. If it's 1%, that's good. What does that mean about the 99% of the rest of you? I'm talking to now. You're in damnation and you're going to remain there. But I will still pray for your soul as long as you live, and I will try to help any one of you. But I'm just warning nominal Catholics how serious their position is. They are worse now than anybody in the whole world. They are in the most danger. They are in the most danger of sinning against the Holy Ghost. They are the ones that God is the most angry with. The most angry with. And the ones who are least to convert. But some of you, let some of you people that are listening to this right now be that one. But I know how a lot of people are, you nominal Catholics. You probably turned my sermon off already. So you're not even going to hear this. But if you went this far, you're going to turn it off now and you're going to get angry. That's your problem, not mine. I don't need you, remember? I was out there with you. Nothing but damnation is out in that world, and lies. People flattering one another, telling them how good they are, and how we're all going to go to heaven. In spite of what our Lord consistently told us from the Old Covenant prophets and from Jesus himself about how few are saved and about all the blood and death that's going to take place in Kidron Valley from the wicked that fills the blood up to the horse's bridle in Kidron Valley. Where does all that blood come from? They got everybody being saved, and it's a complete opposite. Very, very few people are saved when all is said and done. You don't want to believe me? That's your problem, not mine. I believe the Word of God. You don't, if you don't believe what I'm saying on that.
And this next clip is also in video, if you're looking at the video, and it is titled, Various Topics, Number One.
And that's okay if you're doing it for that. I mean, what I call reading, recreational reading. You know, recreational reading, dangerous. I know guys are hurt, they kind of need to go to his website. Other than if I got to go there and I hear he's saying something wrong, I gotta review. I'll go there, I know where I got to go, I'll pull it out and bring it out. I say, I don't care how many good things you've got on your website. I don't see nothing about John Paul II being an apostate anti-pope. I don't see you blasting him out of order or talking about his heresies or like the apostate Diamond Brothers. I see you telling people to go in church and pray with these notorious heretics and communion with them. I don't need to know any more about that. You guys are out there. We are the church. We don't need them. Exactly. They need us. Yes. They need us. We're Catholic. They're not. And when you start dealing with the people too much on a term like that, they begin to think that you're just like part of them. It's like a false ecumenical movement. Yeah. So there's a
big. They try to manipulate you too.
They'll try to manipulate you and they say, well, he's talking to me. When you stay where, I can tell you clearly, surely, when you really break all ties with people, if God's saying, Rich, I'm going to turn these people into dust and dirt. I'm going to destroy them. They're nothing. They're nothing. If a Chicano doesn't convert, he is no more of a memory than anybody. He's going to be a nobody, a big zero, big when God destroys him. He's going to do it. He's going to destroy all these people, and they're going to be worthless. Their memory's going to go down, at most, as reprobates. They're condemned by their own false ecumenism, because they don't judge anybody. So once we say, I got the truth, I know what this is, you're being obstinate, I've shown it to you about 3 or 4 times, and you're not listening, what I do now, I'll give you an example. Somebody calls up, gets me on the internet, they say, Rich, am I allowed to pray in communion with notorious heretics? No, you cannot. Don't listen to the Diamond Brothers. Read my faith before the Mass, and when you're done reading it, I will be glad to answer any goodwill questions you have.
Very good.
End of question. Now, if they write back and say, oh, well, I don't agree with you, well, fine, don't ever write me again. I'll pray for you. Right. You're going to hell. You're on the road. Because I know why. I said everything I could in that book. I know it. I've handled every argument. I handled it from every side. It's not that I'm depriving the guy of truth. I know he read it. I know he's not of good will. Because when someone wants to go to that Mass, he's going to go to that Mass. You're not going to talk him out of it. Yeah. Because that Mass is his, he's sacrilegiously using that Mass to say, I can go to heaven by solo mise. Mass alone. And the faith doesn't mean anything. I don't have to live a good Catholic life. But I know I've handled that topic so well in that book that if they come back and tell me, I tell them, this is not open for discussion. Do me a favor. You're on the road to hell. When you admit that you cannot, Catholics are forbidden to pray in communion with notorious heretics, I will not talk to you no more. Don't even email me. You're on my prayer list, though. I end it. And that's, and everything, our Lord says, flee from the devil and he will flee from you. Flee, cast out the man amongst you who's causing discord, and discord will be cast out from amongst you. It's nothing but a hornet's nest, and God is using these people in this movement to kill one another. They're biting. I get some goodwill people pecking. I know when to answer them, and I know when they're goodwill. And people ask good questions, I love it, and I answer them any day. But when I know I presented something as good as I could, and I handled every angle, and we showed them about why you can't, and the reasons you can't, and that is it sacrilege for non-Catholics to receive Holy Communion? Are these guys non-Catholics? They say yes. Are you receiving with them and participating? They say no. When you get to that point where they don't want to see it, don't spend any more time with them. Because then when you start rolling your wheels with a guy like that, God's saying, wait a second, Richard. I don't think you understand how much I abhor this guy. This guy is so bad, and you want to continue to be talking to him? And let's go on to another topic. Let's go on to something else. The only reason I extend a debate with a guy like a Father Harrison is for one reason, because he's very famous and people know him. But I'm done with him. My hands are wide. I am done with him. I've done everything I could with him. I went the extra yard for him because he is a major influencer. But I finished him off with these last 9 questions that he has refused to answer.
Yes.
What further? The guy hasn't answered if the old covenant is still in effect or not. He's a professor in a pontifical university. Now, he can come out and say, Richard, let's talk about studying the Catholicism.
No.
Let's go on. No. We ain't talking about nothing else. If you tell me if the old covenant has ended with the death of Christ, and is Talmudic Judaism a false religion? Hasn't answered. Now, what purpose do I have to talk to a guy like this after that? Now, I've exposed him as much as I went even an extra yard for him because he is the notorious number one excuse maker on the conservative so-called side for JP2. But there's a good example. Now, if I went back and said, okay, Richard, well, put aside our differences about Talmud and Old Covenant and
Muslims worshiping God. Let's go over and talk about this issue. No more do I need. I've handled every. The only time, the reason I handled his NFP thing was he's influential on that too. But in his case, I went further than you would normally go with your average person because he's influential. But let's just take your average person that's coming along. And once you've presented enough, and the guy says, I think the old covenant is still in effect. I think Muslims worship the true God. I think Talmudic Jews worship the true God. And the guy showed, and you proved it to him. He's not listening. Where do we go from here? Then you got to be very careful. If you're starting to continue to argue with this guy and debate this guy, for what? And if you allow him to change topics, I've known some of these guys in Trisha's movement. They get so used to human companionship. They just like the chat rooms. Yeah. They like the debate. They love the argument. They love to pull the tight. They love to go back and forth. And they all seem to think they're all geniuses. You got the other thing, too. You get, but once you catch them on a few points, we don't need them. And once once you stop reading their stuff, because you can say, well, he has a lot of really, even another one of our persons that fell out was listening to Gruner's stuff. And I went, I met Gruner several times in a monastery. The guy's an abomination. He wouldn't even look me in the eyes. He's not even a man. He is such a criminal thief. He hates Christ and he hates Mary. He really does. Yeah. Because he puts those crocodile tears on, but he doesn't say anything about the abominable crimes. That's like saying, I love Mary, my mother, and somebody's busting her in the head, beating her up. Calling her dirty
he's
names.
He's a socialist. What he is.
He's a socialist. He has no care for Mary. The Mary you care about is the Mary that's pat in your pockets. It's the devil. It's not the true Mary. If you love Mary, you're not going to let anybody say anything bad about Mary without getting righteously angry. This guy is such a weakling. So I said, he writes a lot of good things when he does write, like 90%, like a Southern Baptist on a good Sunday. Who cares? And the serious problem is when you start reading this stuff, God lets devils come into you. That's the worst part of all that you don't see. And then you wonder why a couple weeks later you start scratching your head and almost believe what Bruner's saying. You start getting swayed. Well, because you're reading this stuff. And the one person was saying to me, well, Richard, if I wasn't searching, how would I have found you? Because if I just do what the Novus Ordo people told me, don't read anything, because I says, no, your search ended when you came into the Church of George. Your search should have ended. That's like somebody who's going through 15 different Protestant sects, and he finally comes into Catholicism. And he finds it. He's gone through the search. He's ended his search. He's exhausted the other things and came where he is. And then he says, well, I have to keep searching, because if I don't keep searching, maybe there's something even more than this. And so let me go back and research Protestantism. So it was a false argument, but it's a sneaky one that you can get into. We have to still keep searching. No, you already proved him false. Now, and every one of these people that fell out have not been able to accuse me of any type of heresy. It was more, always, in every case, almost, loving their family more than God. I know, and they get angry at you. They say, how dare you? Don't you? Oh, I have brandies. I have one guy say, oh, yeah, you're one of the witnesses? He goes, heal my knee. He goes, I can't walk, he says. If you heal my knee and I can walk across a football field, I'll listen to you, he says. That's what he writes me, this one guy. And he was one guy who observed. Go ahead, big shot. Heal my knee, big guy. I said, you're just a guy God's going to give a miracle to. I said, you're going to take it up with God, not me. I said, this is the way they get, because he got angry. He goes, oh, are you God? Are you at my house? You can see me? I says, I know, because I know you've already told me about your parents. I know where you're living. I know what you're doing. I know the common causes why people fall out. And then when they get angry like that, you sort of hit a nerve. But he was prideful, because a good world person might sit back and go, maybe he's right. You tell the brothers in here, we all admonish one another when we need it. Not all the time. We bear with one another's faults. We don't kill one another and club one over the head with faults. But when any of us are doing something that seems to be serious or wrong, something, we do admonish. They admonish me, my own brothers. Without them being here, I know I wouldn't be saved either. God put these people around me. God says when you start to serve him, he will surround you with godly people who fear him. And they will help you to save your soul. We help one another save ourselves. My brothers admonish me when I'm wrong, and I thank them for it. I know if they didn't do it, I can't save myself. God put them here for a purpose, and I'm here to help admonish my other brother. If you can't take admonishment, well, then we don't even want you in the ballpark. We don't even want you in here in the first place. I tell the sisters, many times, there's some people you can't even tell them their shoes are untied. My shoes are untied. I never have my shoes. I tied them this morning. I tied them perfectly. My shoes could never be untied. Oh, no, not my shoes untied. No, I can never make a mistake. I've never done anything wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, excuse me, I tell people when you're playing games, it tells you a lot about a person. If he cheats, he lies, he gets jealous, he's not a good sport. Mm-hmm. Big stuff, serious stuff, not small stuff. Yeah. Big stuff. If a kid cheats when he's playing a game, big mortal sin. Yeah. You're going to go to hell. It shows a deeper problem. If he cheats when he plays a game, if you play a game and you get angry because the other person beats you, shake his hand and be a good sport. I look at those things. Very important. If a kid is not able to take a loss and thank the parent, he's going to go to hell. Oh, because of a game? No, because you fail in small things, it goes into big things. Yeah. So it's all this stuff. This monstrous pride that's out there is immense.